For the preacher, there's nothing more crushing than a resistant audience, and nothing more exhilarating than a receptive audience. Those who pour their hearts into preaching long to see their listeners respond favorably. On Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll points to Jonah's performance in Nineveh. Following his citywide message, a spectacular revival broke out. The people not only listened intently, but the Ninevites turned from their wicked ways. So why was Jonah incensed at God for these superb results? Let's pick up the story in Jonah chapter 4. Chuck titled his message, "The Grumblings of an Angry Prophet."
He is one resentful, pouting prophet, angry to the core. The change of plans greatly upset Jonah. He became very angry. And he says, I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. Guess where his eyes are? All over himself. I told them they were doomed. And you turned around and changed the plan. I knew you'd do that. It's just like you. It's just like you. If you won't wipe them out, wipe me out. As I read through all this verbiage of pouting Jonah, burning with anger, I found it interesting that God is absolutely silent. Silent. He doesn't interrupt Jonah. He doesn't stop him and give him a lecture. He doesn't even rebuke him with a word or two. He stays silent. What God does do is pull him aside and ask him a question. I like to think of God here in human terms as putting his great arm around the shoulder of his angry, complaining, pouting prophet, pulling him up close and saying, "Is it right for you to be angry about this? Is that right?" What does Jonah say? He zips it. He has nothing to say. So what does he do? Well, in his refusal to answer, he decides to build a place to sulk. He now distances himself perhaps to a mound out further than he had been walking. And there he builds a little lean-to, we would call it, a little shelter, a little booth. And what does he do? He sits under it and waits to see what will happen to the city. I think he's still hoping for calamity. Just maybe. This repentance nonsense they've gone through, that's going to wear thin. And when they change back, boom, I want to see that happen. Maybe it wasn't for that reason, but what else would he be waiting for? He's certainly not waiting to watch the blessings unfold. He hates these people. I'm not going to leave us here. I'm determined to come in through the back door and apply it in a way that's very positive. Because I am determined that you and I not live like that. That you and I are better than that. Let me start with the truth about where we are. Each one of us is selfish and short-sighted. We are. We are by nature, by birth, and by choice. We fight selfishness throughout our lives. Number two, when we don't get our way, we don't like it. We don't like it at all. And we feel resentful. In that state of mind, we're neither open nor teachable. The resentment has deafened you and blinded you. God regularly steps in and very patiently says to you, is it right for you to be so resentful? I mean, is that the way you want to treat your family? And truth be told, most people live their lives in lonely desperation. So rather than go there, I want to offer an alternative way of life. And I say this to every one of us. I have every person here in mind, including, of course, myself. I'm no exception. I want to talk about how you can start your day, live your day, end your day, and enter into your night on your bed in a different frame of mind than this. Here we go. Start each day remembering I'm not in charge. That will relieve you. I'm not in charge. I went to a pastor's conference at Moody Bible Institute a number of years ago. Happened to have been invited as one of the speakers. I was there with a number of other pastors, and the place was filled with pastors and a few students. There were 1,500 more and more. Some were even standing. It was so full. And there was a huge banner that hung across the front of the room. I loved what it said, speaking to the pastors. Relax, for once you are not in charge. Isn't that a great line? How come pastors are in charge? Whoever told pastors they're in charge? I'm not in charge of you. You don't answer to me. This isn't my church. Hear me when I say this. I'm not in charge of my wife. You can say that again. And I've got a great, loving, and usually submissive wife. Unless I need to be stood up to. Had a couple stop me out front before we started church service, and he said, my wife and I have had a talk about you and Cynthia. I said, oh, really? And here's a guy that's honest enough to tell me. And I said, what was that about? He said, well, my wife said, you know what? I wonder if Cynthia ever says to Chuck, no, you know what you said Sunday? That was wrong. That was not what you should have said. And his wife said, oh, she would never say that. And he said, do you know Cynthia? And he said, yes, she would. And I said to him, you were right, your wife's wrong, but let me tell you the difference. She'll never do it in public, and she'll wait for the right time. She won't do it on the way home from church. Pastors are usually really sensitive about comments that are made that are critical right after a sermon. But maybe Monday or Tuesday, she'll slip into it with, you know, about Sunday. And let me be honest with you, it'll be the most insightful criticism that I need to hear that I would have been able to hear from anybody, and I'm grateful for it. So having said all of that, I'm not in charge. I'm not in charge of you. You don't owe me an apology for living like you're living. You're not going to answer to me in eternity. I'm too busy answering for myself. So relax. You're not in charge. Start every day reminding yourself, today, from start to finish, from the moment my little tootsies step on the carpet until the end of the day when I slip off my slippers and crawl in bed, I am not in charge. It doesn't mean you're not responsible for things in your life. It just means you're not in charge of the outcome. You couldn't change that if you tried. Now, the way you think, you're in charge of that, which is part of what I'm talking about. So get a hold of your thoughts and tell yourself, as I begin this day, I'm not in charge. It's a nice relief. Here's the second. As you live your life, remembering, I'm really blessed. That'll make you thankful. Tell yourself over and over, I am really blessed. Oh, I know. I know you're not as rich as you wish you were. You don't have as much as you wish you did, or you're not as young as you wish you were, or you're not as pretty as you wish you could have been, and you're not as intelligent as so-and-so. So give all that up. I'm talking about real, deep, meaningful blessings. Got your eyesight? Can you hear fairly well? Got most of your teeth? Have a pretty good appetite? I can tell by looking. You have a pretty good appetite. Do you starve? Most of us have not missed a meal. Are you blessed with a few people who really love you? You are. You have a good church? You got a great church. You have folks who care about your soul? You sure do. We couldn't care more. We can't change you, but we care about you. We're not in charge of you, but we care. You're blessed. So as you live your life, say to yourself, I'm a blessed person. I can walk around. I'm not paralyzed. Some are in bed all their life, all their adult later years. You're up and around. I can dress myself. I can spend time with those I love. How blessed. I'm a blessed person. So I live my day reminding myself, like the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name, who forgives all your sin. Just start there. How good is that? Not a sin you can name he doesn't forgive. How blessed we are. That cross made that possible. Now, as you end your day, remember, I did not get what I deserved. That's a great line that I picked up from Dave Ramsey, the financial consultant that you all know about. I never thank Dave for this, though I've stolen the line. When I'm asked, how are you? My answer is usually, better than I deserve. And I mean it with all my heart. I don't deserve this life. I don't deserve this position. I don't deserve our magnificent staff and team of pastors. I don't deserve this wife. I don't deserve our family, but I have them. And I don't deserve any of it. I don't deserve good health. And here I am, 84 years old. I mean, you have no idea how wrinkled I am. Well, one of you does, but she's not telling anybody. I mean, so literally, most guys my age have hung it up. I'm not hanging anything up. And listen, wait. I think I don't deserve this health. I don't deserve this age. But I have it. And so you've got your list. You guys still got little kiddos. I know you could pinch their heads off sometime. I understand that. But you've got them. And someday you'll absolutely adore the memories. And they'll grow up and love you. And you'll have a great thing going. So that's grace. That'll swarm you with grace at the end of the day. I'll sometime end the day rehearsing some of this. And I'll cry. I just cry with gratitude. And then when I lie down before I go to sleep, Cynthia's right there by me. I lie down, and I remember I can leave everything in God's hands tonight, and He won't be asleep. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. Isn't that great? I don't ever have to say, "Dear Lord," and hear. He's never snoring. He's never asleep. He says, "Yes, Chuck. What? I'm here. I'm protecting you. I'm watching out for your house. I'm caring for you." And so I can leave it all with Him. So I'm free of worry. What a way to live. What a way to live. Relieved because I'm not in charge. Thankful because I'm really blessed. Filled with grace because I'm not getting what I deserve. And free of fear because I have no worries. He's taking care of everything. Day and night, 24/7, 365, sometimes 366. He doesn't take a day off and leap year. He's there. Jonah, that's what you're missing. Your little tiny radius of a world is like a rat in a sewer pipe. Tiny little world revolves around what you didn't get. And you're telling God to kill you. Don't say it too much, or He may take you up on it. How about counting your blessings, Jonah? How about being grateful you're alive? Let it go, man. I spend my life letting go. I close with this wonderful piece. To let go doesn't mean I stop caring. It means I can't do it for someone else. To let go is not to cut myself off. It's the realization that I can't control another. To let go is not to enable, but to allow learning from natural consequences. To let go is to admit powerlessness, which means the outcome is not in my hands. To let go is not to try to change or blame another. I can only change myself. To let go is not to care for, but to care about. To let go is not to fix, but to be supportive. To let go is not to judge, but to allow another to be a human being. To let go is not to be in the middle arranging all the outcomes, but to allow others to affect their own outcomes. To let go is not to be protective. It is to permit another to face reality. To let go is not to deny, but to accept. To let go is not to nag, scold, or argue, but to search out my own shortcomings and to correct them. To let go is not to adjust everything to my desires, but to take each day as it comes. To let go is not to criticize and regulate anyone, but to try to become what I dream I can be. To let go is not to regret the past, but to grow and live for the future. To let go is to fear less and love more. You know when you learn to do that? When you turn your life over to Jesus Christ. When you cling to Him, you let go of everything else. You hold it all, as Corrie Ten Boom taught me, you hold it all very loosely. let it go. Bow your heads, will you please? Let's not move about. Let's sit quietly. Whatever may be your lot in life, and it may be pretty painful right now, it may be terribly unfair. Maybe have been a life marked by abuse, misunderstanding, mistreatment, hatred from others, whatever. I want you to know Christ stands ready with arms open to accept you just as you are. You don't have to get dressed up. You don't have to get cleaned up. You don't have to make a lot of promises. He's there. His arms are open. And he's waiting for you to come just like you are. Simple words, God, I'm sinful, short-sighted, and selfish. I've messed things up, and I've messed it up for others. I'm here because I can't keep doing that, and I don't want to, but I can't stop on my own. So please take over, become my Savior, and then as my Lord, take control. I leave it all with you as you cleanse me from deep within. Start there at the core of my being and clean me by your blood. Clean me from sin. Cleanse me. If you made that decision, you made the best decision you could ever make. Need to tell another Christian so they can help you get started. Need to start the growth pattern or you're going to stay in the sandbox. And you'll keep throwing your little fit. You'll keep wanting to do your will. But there's a way to live beyond that. It's called the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to be instructed in that. We'll help you. Dear Father, thank you for today, for your ministry to us in the midst of a man who never got it. May we learn some lessons in an alternative course that will set us in the right direction. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone said, Amen.
Listening to Insight for Living. Chuck Swindoll is teaching from the Book of Jonah, where we found priceless wisdom for life. The takeaway lesson from today's study is to let it go. And we know that some, at this very moment, are releasing their grasp on something that's held them captive for far too long. We pray God has used Chuck Swindoll's teaching to guide you in this process. And to learn more about Chuck Swindoll and the ministry of Insight for Living, visit us at insightworld.org. As an additional tool for advancing your application of these principles, we'd like to send a complimentary CD to your home. It's possible God has placed a Jonah in your care. And by that I mean you've reared a rebel, a son or daughter who has wandered far from God. And you've come to understand that the outcome of their decisions is no longer under your control. Well, Chuck presented a popular and practical message on this topic called When the Fun Stops for Parents. This CD offers tangible steps to take while you're waiting on your loved one to turn back to God. To request a copy, go to insight.org/offer. And this offer is valid in the United States only. Gratefully, Insight for Living is blessed with monthly companions and generous givers who make these resources and the daily program a reality. And as God has prompted you to join us in this worthy effort to reach all 195 countries of the world with His message of grace and mercy, we boldly invite you to give. I can assure you that the needs right now are very real, especially as we enter the final weeks of our financial year. To give a much-needed donation right now, call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Once again, 1-800-772-8888. or many have found it convenient to use the donate button on the Insight for Living mobile app. You can also give online at insight.org/donate. Take it from Chuck Swindoll. There's nothing quite like the beauty of the great frontier.
Wide open skies, pristine glaciers with various shades of blue and turquoise mingled within them, towering pine trees, and all manner of wildlife. I'll tell you, Alaska is truly a masterpiece of God's creation.
I've been to a lot of places and seen a lot of things, but honestly, nothing compares to the beauty in Alaska. God is awesome.
Please plan to come with us on Insight for Living Ministries' 40th anniversary cruise to Alaska. It will be held June 29 through July 6, 2019.
When I'm in Alaska, I feel like I'm in an amazing painting created by God.
Let yourself get lost in the majestic beauty. Spend quality time with those you love. Allow God to refresh your soul as you reflect on His Word and His goodness in your life.
To learn more, go to insight.org/events or call this number 1-888-447-0444. The tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Chuck Swindoll points to the prophet Jonah as an example of how not to respond when God's plans differ from what we hoped. Wednesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Grumblings of an Angry Prophet, was copyrighted in 2018 and 2019, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.